Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to take everything we know about eating the right kinds of food and forget it. Because today we are going on a guilt-free adventure to the marketplace of food for fun. And as we do, our question for you is, which fun food can you not resist?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1028th edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends down there in Puerto Montt who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Jason Struby on the boards. Jason.
Pleasure to roll with.
Now, wait a minute. Come here. Which fun foods can you not resist?
Well, Michael, I have to admit, it's my beloved vegan oatmeal scones, and I usually have to get one every morning.
Vegan oatmeal scones. But that doesn't sound quite like a fun food to me, though.
Oh, it's pretty fun. I mean, these things come with frosting and all kinds of raisins.
All the good stuff.
Not messing around.
Well, folks, we know so much about eating the right kinds of food, but there are times, like when we go to the county fair, the amusement park, or even the mall food court, when we just forget about what we should eat and eat for the pure fun of eating. But it's okay, because it is fanciful fact of life that festival foods contain no calories, no trans fats, no GMOs, not a thing bad for the body or soul. So we lose the guilt, eat away, and have lots of fun. These thoughts come to mind whenever I go to the county fair, amusement park, or harvest festival, and I'll bet you, a corn dog and a side of Dippin' Dots, you do the same. That we so willingly abandon what we know for what we want to enjoy leads us to ponder the clever business people who work very hard to service up the fun foods we so desire. And we wonder, how do festival foodies build their businesses? What kinds of fun foods do we most desire? And can festival foods possibly contain anything bad to eat? Well, here to help us find some guilt-free fun food, we have Ken Whiting, who is a Whiting Foods, Santa Cruz, California Beach Boardwalk, and a consultant to the fun food industry throughout the United States. Ken, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thanks, Michael. It's great to be here.
Great to have you aboard. So I've got a question for you. When I was a kid, I worked in a potato chip factory. And those potato chips tasted really good for like about an hour. And then after that, everything smelled like potato chips, and wasn't so hungry for them anymore. Your family has been serving up fun foods for 62 years on the beach boardwalk in Santa Cruz, California.
True.
Yeah. So, are there any fun foods that you can resist still?
Fun foods that I can resist?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
But there's a time and a place, right? But no, they're all great at the right time. Absolutely.
At the right time. And when you're there all the time, is there a right time?
You know, when you're at work, you don't so much indulge, for sure. But when you're out playing and you've got that frame of mind, then it's all good.
Okay, good. And it is a frame of mind, and that's really what we're talking about today. Well, you've been quoted as saying, if you can't deep fry it or chocolate dip it, we don't sell it.
Well, I'm not sure where you got that quote, but that's pretty true.
Things
have changed over time, though. That's an old quote.
It's an old quote.
It's an old quote. That still stands true for sure, but there's been a evolving menu.
Okay. What is it about fun foods that make them so fun?
I honestly, when I think of fun foods, in my own experience is, again, at the boardwalk and as an amusement park or in fairs and festivals. And it's part of the experience. It's part of going down, having fun, leaving work and your everyday life behind. And the food becomes something that you can justify, enjoy, and indulge for those several hours of that one particular day.
And one suspects that a bit. That's a big part of it, too, right? Having that freedom to say, oh, to heck with it all.
Yes.
I'm just going to enjoy this.
I see it every day from people who eat very healthy 6 days a week. And on that one day, one day a year, they might be in the park, is they're looking to leave the normalcy behind and enjoy themselves when it comes to eating.
And then, is there something about the taste? Or
well, sure.
What is it? It's nice and sweet.
It's got to taste good. It's got to be hot. Funnel cake's got to be hot and sweet. And cotton candy's got to be tall and fluffy and sweet.
And pretty.
And pretty. And
pretty.
Okay. Soft serves. The chocolate dip's got to be just right. There's a lot of those commonalities that got to taste good.
Okay, good. And the setting. What about just the setting for fun foods, too? We talked about this earlier before the show. Wow. How important is the setting?
Yeah. Even as I was mentioning a moment ago, the setting's all about where people gather to have fun. And so whether that is right here at the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk or anybody's amusement park close to them that's listening right now, or when the county fair rolls into town like it is in Santa Cruz. I think this week we open up out the Santa Cruz County Fair. So when you go into the fairs and your local festivals or your local amusement parks, the setting is everything. When you step into the property, it's
exciting.
Your mindset has changed. All of a sudden, I'm in a different place than where I typically live, if you will, and all bets are off, and it's a time to enjoy, relax, and
so a big deal with this setting, and then of course the presentation. You got to present.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, we love.
When you think about just going to a restaurant, the presentation is always so important, or having a family meal is really important when everybody's sitting around. The presentation is also important, but it's a whole different presentation.
It is for sure, but you're right. It's the exact same strategy, I suppose, if you will, in terms of having food look great when it comes out. But it needs to look like something. We love when we can prepare foods like right in front of people. I think I've already mentioned funnel cakes, but funnel cakes are made right in front of people. Churros are made fresh right in front of our guests. And that's a real trend right now, being able to move food out to where it's presented.
It's kind of like pretty much restaurants as well, right?
The trending is the same. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And absolutely.
So get as close as you can to the food that you're going to eat.
Let your guests see what it is you're preparing and how you're preparing it.
Take us back a notch to your family's been at the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk for 62 years. And it all started with a custard stand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the short story is my dad was working for Metal Gold Dairies as a milkman, delivering. Some of his accounts were on the boardwalk. And one year, 1953, one of his customers just said, "Hey, Ted, I'm thinking about selling this custard stand." And he jumped at that opportunity. It was very, very seasonal back then. He maintained his job for years with Metal Gold, but one location has turned into a couple of dozen that we operate now at the boardwalk here in Santa Cruz. And I have seven brothers and sisters, so I'm one of eight, and that means my mom had a built-in workforce. So it is the quintessential family business story for sure. And so we're on to the fourth generation now that are working.
Wow,
working
four generations that you can hold together. Tell us a little bit about, we have just a moment left, but tell us quickly about the beach boardwalk in Santa Cruz, California.
Yeah, for people who haven't seen it, it's an amazing place. We celebrated our 108th year this year. We're sitting right on the coastline. On the Monterey Bay of the Pacific Ocean. So we're sitting right along the beach. Old park that's better today than it was when it opened. There are several dozen rides, a classic roller coaster Giant Dipper built in 1924, carousel built in 1911, and all the new things as well. Several million people visit. We serve the greater San Francisco Bay Area, and beyond that, it's the rest of the world.
So kids coming in from all over the world to enjoy the beach boardwalk, and of course, dragging their parents right behind them. So you have lots of people to feed for four generations. Yeah. When we get back from the short break, Ken Whiting, I'd like to ask you about the children that you hire, the kids that hire to work, because that's a big part of the presentation. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson. We will be right back. Hey, which fun food can you not resist? Do stay tuned.
Get this. You can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
Houseplants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high-value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at MetroFarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at MetroFarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-, 6-, or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at MetroFarm.com. That's MetroFarm.com.
You know, amusement parks, theme parks, water parks, zoos, fun family entertainment centers, very small kinds of amusement parks and attractions.
Well, there you go. So how best to serve people fun foods? We're talking about kids and the opportunities that you have provided your family has provided kids mm-hmm. throughout the years, 62 years of serving food to kids,
having kids serve food.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, our family's business as well as the boardwalk in general are just great first-time employers for high school and college students and others for that matter. But the majority of our workforce is definitely within that 16 to 24 age group. And it's a huge part of what we do and something that we take a lot of pride and commitment in.
These kids are coming out of an environment in which they probably have not had a job anymore because – you know, when you and I were growing up, there were jobs. That's what you did, you know, from the get-go, that's what you did. But not so much anymore. So you have children who are raised without the responsibilities of work, and they come to you. How do you pull that together?
Yeah, you're right, though. That landscape has definitely changed from a standpoint of when the workplace readiness that young people have today is definitely different than it was perhaps when you and I were younger, but not even that long ago. And we pull it together because it's what we do. I mean, there's a lot of recruiting, a lot of interviewing, a lot of training, a lot of continued education and guiding them in the process. We'll have a lot of folks that might be their first job ever, work in their first year, but we have an amazing amount of young people might start when they're a sophomore in high school, but they continue to work each year, and our schedules work for their school calendars, and we work around that and with them on those things that are candidly more important to them.
What is the most important thing for them to learn first? Showing up on time.
That was a long pause. I could rattle off 10 things.
This is radio, Ken. You got to roll.
Yeah, I got to roll. I knew that. Probably the most important thing is that they're there to serve other people. Mm-hmm. They're there to serve our guests first, the coworkers, their supervisors, and it's not always just about them.
Yeah, and that's a tough one for kids who have not worked before then. Wow.
Yeah.
And yet you do it year after year after year after year.
Yeah.
So you keep them going and they keep coming back. So those that do come back probably help the ones that are just starting then.
Yeah. You know, we have so many folks, like I said, that start perhaps in high school and work their way right through college. And those that have worked year 2, year 3, year 4, year 5, and they contribute more than they probably appreciate, maybe more than we appreciate, because they have that experience. And they do become... they're in a position to guide and train those that are younger than them.
Wow. Yeah. And good for you for doing that. And it's so wonderful to see kids with an opportunity to work because it's so hard for them now to find work anymore.
Jobs for young people are harder and harder to come by. So, go thank your local amusement park for hiring so many of them.
There you go.
And bringing them along to get them ready maybe even for that career position that they might be guided to.
Well, okay, let's turn to the fun foods.
Yeah.
You know, you've been working in the fun food industry for 62 years. Your family has.
Yeah.
You're probably raised on fun foods to a certain extent. When did you start working?
Oh, it's hard to say. If you know anything about family businesses, it's hard to say when you really first started. I probably didn't get a paycheck till I was in junior high, 13, 14 years old, I don't recall. But My first job was peeling bananas.
Oh.
Peeling bananas for the chocolate dip bananas that we have sold in the park for long, long time, decades and decades. And so I had to peel bananas, stick them, put them in the freezer, box them, and get them ready to be dipped in chocolate and rolled in nuts.
Uh-huh. So there you go. You have your first job, right, and there it is.
Well, everybody's had their first job and had their first job story, and that was mine. As a very young person, peeling bananas.
Well, you know, going back to the, is it difficult to hire kids now? I mean, do you have all of these regulatory hoops that you have to jump through as everybody else does?
Sure. It's in terms of the I guess the labor laws, it's hard. There's a lot of wonderful 14 and 15 year olds, for example, that want to work, but they're too regulated in their abilities to make them very hireable by most employers. There's too many restrictions of what they can and cannot do. So it's, in that respect, there's certainly lots more. I mean, there's different laws and things that keep getting passed to make it more expensive, and you know, so we adjust and deal with all of that. Right now, particularly in this marketplace, it varies around the country. With the economy being pretty good, the labor market's pretty tight. So there's opportunities out there, but we do a great job of continuing to reach out to.
Good. Okay, back to the foods. Yeah. 62-year family history of fun foods. Which food is most fun?
I would have to say, if you came down, the fried foods are the most fun. And they might, around the country, what that particular number one fried food is might vary a little bit. But here at Santa Cruz, it's a funnel cake. And the lines funnel are cake. Long for the funnel cakes. Yeah.
What is it about funnel cakes? You put ice cream in them, right?
Yeah, that's a choice. That's an option.
You can put
for sure. Yeah, well, you know what it is? I think that it's one of those things that people can't get very many places, and they are wonderfully hot, made right in front of you, like I mentioned earlier, coming out of the oil and topped with powdered sugar and whipped cream, and they look great. They taste great, and if I'm a visitor, where am I going to get it when I go home tonight? So I got to get it today, and they love it.
They love it.
Yeah.
Fried foods around the country, and it seems like almost any location has its own unique specialty. I mean,
sure.
I've heard of deep-fried Oreo cookies. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. We sell a lot of deep-fried Oreo cookies.
Really?
How about deep-fried Twinkie and deep-fried peanut butter and jelly sandwich? So we sell those items and sell a lot of them right here in healthy California. And, you know, if you go to some of the state and local county fairs, you'll see deep fried
anything.
And
what is it about deep frying? I mean, we all have a need, you know, a fundamental need for oils in our bodies. And is that it? Is it a taste?
I don't think anybody's thinking about a fundamental need for oil. No, I think they're thinking about the smell, the sight, the taste, the memory of when the last time was they had memory is a huge piece of an amusement park visit.
What do you mean?
What I mean is everybody, you and I included, when we were starting at a young age, all went to the local fair, the local special event, the local amusement park, and it's a special memory of your youth, of your young adulthood, of your parenting and bringing your own kids back. And so there's these tremendous memories that just stay with people for the rest of their life. When do you get a cotton candy? When you get the churros and the ice cream dipped in chocolate and
you have that food associated with a fun day at the amusement park or the county fair or whatnot. You're with your family, everybody's smiling, everybody's happy. It's a direct connection to the memory banks there.
If you went to the amusement park every day or several days a week, every year,
you'd lose it,
absolutely. Yeah. But when you go in once a year, which is the typical kind of visit pattern, when you go in once a year, it all comes back. And even if you don't think it's going to beforehand, it all comes back.
As soon as you walk through the entrance and see the shining lights and the amusement park noises and everything, it's right there again.
What's the song say? I can almost taste the hot dogs and french fries that they sell.
There you go.
Under the boardwalk. So, yeah.
That's where we'll be. Well, folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson. Today we're talking about fun foods. It is the season when we go to the county fairs, we go to the amusement parks, we go to the harvest festivals. We go there to taste and to have fun and let go of everything. And that's what we're doing today, is let going everything that we know about eating the right kinds of food to enjoy the foods that we really want to have some fun with. We're doing that with Ken Whiting, whose family's been serving fun foods at the Beach Boardwalk in Santa Cruz, California for 62 years. Ken works with amusement parks around the nation now, helping those amusement parks sell fun foods to people looking for fun. And asking you today, what is the one food that you simply can't resist when you go out to an amusement park? Love to hear about it. Any questions you might have for Ken, 831-479-1080, 831-479-1080. Right back. This is the Food Chain. Welcome back, folks. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about fun foods. What kind of fun foods can you simply not resist? Let us know. We're at 831-479-1080, 831-479-1080. And we have Ken Whiting here, whose family's been serving fun foods for 62 years and having young people do that too, which is, can you imagine, how many thousands of young people have you hired? Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's a little bit of a pause. I would say certainly over 5,000. There's a tremendous amount of people in our community, right here in the Santa Cruz community, that have either worked for our family's business or have worked at the boardwalk, for sure.
And that's a lot of people right there, a lot of people. Well, there it is, folks. And we were wondering, you know, before, while we were on the break, we were talking about some of the things that you advise amusement parks with respect to food around the country. They come to you and, Ken, we're in trouble. How do you get them out?
Yeah. You know, it's oftentimes it's always the same kinds of things. And the parks have a need to raise their revenue. They have a need to offer menu items they aren't selling, or they just don't have the on-site staff to really execute on plans. And so I just go in and kind of take a look at what the performance is now, where I believe it should be, and then a plan to get them there.
And there it is.
To get them there. It's not, you know, honestly, it's not that difficult.
Okay, so back to food. You have lots of different kinds of food. What kinds do you, how many different kinds of food do you sell there?
Our menu probably has 60, 70 different kinds of things. But, you know, just some of that, since we're talking more fun food today, I mean, we have a lot of meal options and a lot of the standard kinds of things, the pizzas and burgers and hot dogs and chicken and et cetera, gyros, lots of different food options. But kind of under the fun food umbrella, you know, some of the things that come to my mind are, you know, I mentioned the chocolate dipped bananas earlier, and of course cotton candy and popcorns, kettle corn, and deep fried Twinkies, and the fresh baked waffle cones that smell amazing, garlic fries and sweet potato fries. You bet. The Dippin' Dot ice cream is a wonderfully popular item, and you know the fresh battered hot dog on a stick are sold by a couple other concessionaires at the park. Marini mm-hmm. family. This year is celebrating 100 years of operating candy stores on the boardwalk, and their taffy is known throughout the world. Wow. And they launched chocolate-covered bacon a few years ago, and deep-fried artichoke hearts. You can get those down at Surf City Grill, and twisted potatoes on a stick.
Anything that's fun you can possibly imagine.
I'm going to say that's true. Yeah, Michael. Yeah.
Well, let's see what John has to offer. John, welcome to the Food Chain. You're talking with Ken Whiting, Beach Boardwalk, Santa Cruz, California. Fire away.
To have you on the radio, you know, I'm a Santa Cruz resident, and I come to the boardwalk all the time. And I've always wondered, what's your number one best-selling item down there? You've been there for 62 years. What do you sell the most of?
Hey, John, I appreciate the question. I'm glad to know that you come down there a lot. The next time, make sure to call me out and say hi. Your number one thing, at least the one that we're the most proud of, is in terms of what we sell the most of, is chocolate-dipped soft serve.
Ice cream cones,
chocolate dipped. They're kind of a signature item for us, and they are searched out by guests everywhere.
I guess I've fallen for that one.
Sure you have.
Well, John, which one cannot you cannot resist when you go to the boardwalk? Which food do you always have to get?
Well, my latest is the deep-fried Twinkie. You can't get past that. That's actually, as unusual as that sounds, it's actually a really good treat. I love it. Love it.
I've probably seen you in line down there. You probably get quite a few of them.
I'm probably one of your better customers.
So would you describe that taste to me?
Yeah, I'd like to hear that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the deep-fried Twinkie, it's not what you think of. It's kind of a cake, texture, but with hot filling inside of it. It's very unique, like with whipped cream in it. It's something you can't get anywhere else.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
And it would have to be really fresh to work, right?
Yeah, I'm not so sure how fresh those Twinkies are, but
hey, John,
they look good when they come out.
Yeah, what you don't know, or Michael, you don't know, is that you've got to cook those Twinkies just right. You cook them too long, and that creamy center goes away.
So evaporates or something?
It's a very technical skill to cook them at just the right time.
Huh.
You know, I do have one more question. I know years and years ago that there was frozen custard on the boardwalk, and that has kind of gone away. But I think on the East Coast that the frozen custard's starting to come back. Do you think there's any opportunity here in Santa Cruz for that?
Well, that's interesting because that's where the Whiting family started 62 years ago with frozen custard.
Yeah, there was a time even here where their custard was a little bit more available. To your point, it's how we started. And, John, you're right. On the East Coast, custard is a standard. And you know what? We're always into trying new items. And custard, for those who don't know, is just a higher butterfat product, maybe a little egg yolk in there, richer and creamier. And we probably need to give that a shot here one of these days.
Sure. I'll come down and buy some from you.
I hope you do.
Thanks for the call, John. Really appreciate it. 831-479-1080. If you have any question at all about fun foods that we find at the amusement parks, the county fairs, the harvest festivals, wherever people get together. And do you think that that there was a trend toward taking fun foods, you know, out in food trucks, for example? Is that the same phenomenon, or is that a different phenomenon?
I'm going to say there's not a trend at all in that. I think that in terms of taking them out to, it's all about fun food cell where people gather to have fun. So
Simple as that.
So
if you're gathered because you're working, not
no
as...
way. If I'm taking that food truck to a fair, to a festival, to a party, you know, hired party, then absolutely there may be a marketplace for that.
But if you're taking it to the place of work, a different story entirely.
No.
What about the notion of bringing healthy food to amusement parks? And
I knew that question would come up. Yeah. You know, there's a truism throughout our industry that probably the number one guest comment or request is you need to sell and offer more healthy foods. We hear often at parks everywhere hear that. So certainly there are healthy options brought in, and there is never any sales there's not much sales traction at all. On the other hand, it is a real service because there are a lot of families particularly that want to make sure that they have allergen-free, nut-free, dairy-free options for their children. But even on the boardwalk as it relates to healthier kinds of things that are available, there's a lot. I mean, you can get salads, you can get fruit, and you can get deli sandwiches and yogurt parfaits.
But you really have to look for things. Right?
Well, if you're looking for, and if you're looking, you're going to find them just fine. I mean, there's just a roasted corn, turkey burgers, smoothies. There's a lot of different items that are available to those folks that want to maintain their diet.
So no kale sandwiches?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet, but you never know.
All right. Folks, the Food Chain Radio Program, Michael Olson. What about it out there? What food can you not resist when you go to the amusement park, the county fair, the harvest festivals? Oh, my goodness. There's so many of those, too. Lots of opportunity to have fun with fun foods, which is what we're doing today. on the food chain with Ken Whiting, Whiting Foods of the Beach Boardwalk in Santa Cruz, California. 62 years of serving fun foods, working with the youth of our nation, telling them how to serve people and have an opportunity to have a job. What a great job you have, Ken. Right back.
I do.
Well, I think I'm hungry for a waffle cone for some reason. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson here. We're having a little fun with fun foods. And we're talking a little bit about what it takes to stay in the business of fun foods. 62 years. You can't really rest on your laurels or somebody else is going to come take that. So what do you do to stay on the ball, Ken? How does your family stay in that business for 62 years?
Good point, Michael. Like any business, you've got to measure what works and know what the trends are. We're in a pretty fortunate position in that regards. Besides operating at the boardwalk, we actually operate out in fairs and festivals all around California. We operate in a sports arena right here in Santa Cruz, California. I chair the Food and Beverage Committee for International Association of Amusement Parks and Attractions. Mm-hmm. So you have to stay on top of it because you have to ride the hot menu items up. And if you have something that you have too much exposure on that's not selling anymore, you need to kind of ride it down a little bit and diminish your...
So when you're consulting somebody, you actually have the opportunity to learn as much from them.
I learn so much just by seeing so many other venues, mm-hmm. what works for them. Everybody's got a solution to whatever their challenge is. Uh-huh. And maybe all we learn is what we're doing is spot on and don't change a thing. But one thing that comes to mind is you mentioned the waffle cones at the start of this section. Well, there was a time when that was the hottest thing going 20 years ago. We had four locations selling fresh baked waffle cones. Well, all of a sudden, they're not as unique as they used to be. I think you could probably go to a local ice cream parlor and see mm-hmm. them every day of the week, right? So we see our sales drop down on that. So we dropped down from four locations to three locations to two locations. Now we have one that sells that product. And it's a great product, but it doesn't need four locations and that amount of exposure. So we replaced it with other items that are trending and tracking upwards.
One of the things that I see everywhere now that's almost ubiquitous is Dippin' Dots. Mm-hmm. Now, I've never actually tried them, but what the heck are they?
Well, first of all, what's wrong with you for not ever trying a Dippin'?
I didn't know.
And I'm not sure what you just call them. It's Dippin' Dots.
Dippin' Dots.
Not
okay.
Dippy. Or
okay. What are they?
Dippin' Dots. What a great product. Dippin' Dots is great ice cream. They're frozen beads of ice cream that are made at 300 degrees below zero. You can kind of picture all this cream running through some chute in a...
You've seen it.
I've actually been to the factory, and so it's instantly frozen, and it's loose. So when you bite into it at first, or when you take a spoonful of it, it's so cold at first it kind of sticks to your tongue, but then it just melts. And kids of all ages love Dippin' Dots. And
so again, they're like candy coated or something?
No, it's 100% ice cream. Now they have some options that aren't cream. They might be like a popsicle or, you know, dairy free, sugar free. But for the most part, all the flavors, most of them, are just ice cream. No, people think they're candy coated or something. They look like it. It's 100% cream. And,
wow.
And they are a great product.
Okay, I'm going to try it. Let's go see what Brian's up to. Brian, welcome to the Food Chain Radio Program. You're talking with Ken Whiting, Whiting's Foods, Beach Boardwalk, Santa Cruz, California. Fire away.
Hey, speaking of waffle cones, Ken, you're not going to remember in private, but I opened up the waffle cone down in the arcade there when we put those first in down there in the arcade and that. I always remember everybody coming in, so we filled that whole place up with the smell of those waffle cones. It was a big deal.
Brian, you're aging yourself because that
was. I have no problem with that.
Excellent, because that would have been in the early 80s, I think. We put in waffle cones. Yep, excellent.
Yeah, I remember being down there, and it was one of my first jobs. And I was mostly calling to listen to you talk and letting the guys know it's a little off. But how great of a family that was, how great of a job that was when you were a young kid down there. Nothing but good memories sitting in the hole making sandaes and frozen bananas and, you know, nothing but good memories from the boardwalk and the Whitings.
Well, I really appreciate you calling in and saying those things.
Thank you very much. Was that your first job?
It was. I actually got if I remember in the day, my dad was a cop in Santa Cruz and, I was 12 years old and you had to get a little release from your parents because, One thing about the boardwalk, there was never a shortage of hours. So I got actually a special letter that we could work extended hours and stuff. But it was my, yeah, it was my first job. And then I ended up working right through them through culinary school at Cabrillo. And I worked at a little place they had called Cafe Santa Cruz for 2 years, right in the bowling alley.
Yeah.
Wow. So you started working at the age of 12? Ken's going to get thrown in jail for that. You know?
Clearly that was legal then.
I think it was clearly fine. And if I remember, I found a pay stub at one point. The thing where we take him to court is I think I was getting $2.17 an hour. whatever.
Yeah, you're overpaid.
Number was. Yeah. but again, Ken, I remember the days back there with Hector and Margie and all those guys. It was a very good time in the 80s there, and all this talk about the food and the snacks is just good to hear about again.
Great, great memories. Appreciate that very much.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, and thanks for serving up all that good food, Brian. What a great thing to do. That's quite a thing, starting at 12.
Yeah, and he raised the thought, Brian did, which I do really obviously appreciate Brian calling and sharing his story. And he mentioned the name of a couple of people in there that he remembers. But it's amazing to me how many people that we have had that work with us. And this probably applies to other employers who've gone on into their professional careers, whatever they might be, in whatever industries or professions. And we hear all the time about how what they learned in the first job, the responsibility and the teamwork and the accountability and those kinds of basic work ethic skills is what they built their entire careers on. And it's pretty rewarding to get that feedback.
You know, folks, we learn a lot about what kinds of food we should be eating in our discussions on the Food Chain radio program, but today we're just throwing them all out the window and eating food for fun and talking about the whole business of what it is to be fun. And so when we get back, I'd like to talk with Ken Whiting, whose family's been in the business for 62 years, what it is about those foods that make it so much fun. And really, can there possibly be anything bad in that food for us to eat? I don't know. What do you think out there? 831-479-1080. Pick up your phone. Join us if you like. So much to talk about, so little time to talk about it in. This is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson. We're talking about fun foods. Talk so much about the kinds of foods we should be eating, but to heck with all of those good foods. We're talking fun foods. So I'd like to talk a little bit with Ken Whiting, whose family has been serving fun foods for 62 years. What is it about those fun foods? We talked a little, we've touched on the bases all through the program. One of them is the fact that they taste good.
They better.
Yeah,
every time. Yeah.
And what gets our taste is the hot fats, the sugars, the salts, all of the fun things that we try to avoid in our regular diets. It's right there.
I mean, I don't think the caller, John, I think called it out, the cake-like filling or the creamy filling and the cake-like and the batter. He got me hungry. And also the memory piece. I mean, people just have the memory of sweet and delicious and fried.
And, you know, the interesting thing was in your discussion about how when people walk into the grounds and they start hearing the noises and seeing the lights and the colors and the brilliant colors, it takes them back.
It does take them back. And actually, I mean, a theme of ours in the park for all of our staff is about being memory makers. That's really their job. We're about creating memories for those whom visit. And it's just true. When people step onto the grounds, any amusement park or fair in the country, it takes them back. And
no matter where, it's really part of the community then.
It's a part of the psychology and simply the experience of being in that environment. You're out of your norm into a...
Now, what about the sights and smells of the actual presentation of the food? I mean, when you walk by those booths, you smell the good food. It just is that's part of what fried foods is, right? That's the secret of fried foods.
Great smell. Absolutely. Great smells start it. It is, in most amusement parks, and it's not a one size fits all, but most, the sales are really driven on impulse sales. And so you have to really be, we have to be very conscious of what the product looks like. We have to deal with the senses, the sights, the smells, the sound. We want to be popping popcorn. We don't want to pop it in the morning and have it all bagged up ready to go. You got to do it all day long. And even the buildings themselves, the color, the packaging of the material,
right,
the
right.
colors, bright colors, the buildings got to have good, clear signage. So from a distance, nobody's wondering what is being sold at the deep fried Twinkie location. And, so the impulse, the sights, the sounds, the presentation to get folks thinking about it is key.
What is it that suspends our guilt? What is the secret to when we walk
I can justify it because I'm only going to do this today. I'm taking a break from whatever diet I operate on the rest of my life. Today, I'm taking a break. I can justify that, and I'm going to indulge and enjoy some menu items I don't ever get to have.
When we talk about it here on radio, we always talk about the fact that fun foods at the county fair, at the amusement mm-hmm. park, have no calories.
None whatsoever. But now, for sure, if you're concerned about calories, some of those menu items you've talked about come with that. That's why it's a special event.
All right. And it's been a special morning talking about fun foods with Ken Whiting of Whiting Foods. Family's been serving foods at the beach boardwalk in Santa Cruz, California for 62 years. That's a lot of food, Ken.
Sure has been.
Thank you for joining us today. And hey, out there, remember Michael Olson's third law of the food chain? Cheap food isn't. Do stay tuned next week for more What's Eating What Radio.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.